a whole hell of a lot of bands out there who, as soon as they break up, are already greatly missed. The Early November are definitely one of those bands. By the time the band had played its last show on May 6, 2007 at Bamboozle, the members were already not getting along, and its longtime friendships were frayed. So as with any relationship that for all intents and purposes is over, but where the people involved still love each other, they figured it was better to call it quits before all of them started hating each other's guts than continue on. Originally formed as a three-piece in early 2001 in his hometown of Hamilton, New Jersey, with Enders on guitar and vocals, Sergio Anello on bass, and Jeff Kumar on drums, it wasn't too long before the band was signed by Drive Thru Records heads Richard and Stephanie Raines. The Raineses were so impressed with the band that they rushed to throw them out on the 2002 Skate and Surf Festival and several Warped Tour dates before the band had even had that much stage experience. Within 7 years, the band had released a total of 3 LPs and 5 EPs, including an excellent attempt at Next to Youism in 2002, The Room's Too Cold in 2003, and the triple LP The Mother, The Mechanic, and The Path in 2006. But in 2004, Ender slowly began work on a solo career with a one-off side project called I Can Make a Mess Like Nobody's Business, releasing a self-titled album in October of that year. Eventually, he started his own record label, Regular Music, with the help of his wife Jen and Early November drummer Jeff Kumar. By the end of 2007, he had also built a recording studio in the basement of his shopping center called Pink Space Recording, where his next solo work would be recorded. That project, Ace Enders and a Million Different People, quickly took shape upon the demise of the Early November, and the initial recording sessions are now up as a free download on Fuse TV's website. Even though he's still on Drive Thru Records with his new band, Enders feels like a lot of musicians these days, pretty much on his own and very much living DIY and day to day. This is Mike Shea.
It's 5 a.m. and we'll stumble out of bed, but you leave your mind in it for a little while. You listen to the clock, it's ticking up a storm. It tells you time's been running out the door. The cracks, the sides, you have to find it.
You have to. Somebody was telling me the other day that that they haven't seen you this happy in a while.
Yeah? What?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's true. I haven't been.
Really?
Very happy now, nowadays. Things are great. Well, I mean, things are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For as best it can be in
yeah,
this industry.
Yeah, for as best as it can be right now, things are... You know what? I'm just going to say, like, we just... I don't know. Just the atmosphere and everything now is just, like, you know, my mind frame just... going, you know, just trying to do this and remember why. I think the thing it is that I'm really realizing now why I started to do this when I was a kid, you know, why I decided to pick up my guitar and play. And, you know, over the past several years, like, sort of slowly forgot that reason, you know.
Really?
And, like, in a weird way, in a way of, like, I don't know, it's just the last band, like, it seems like, you know, we...
You can move it.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Cool. All right. I don't want to make any weird noises.
No. Don't worry about that. I mean, it's the AP podcast. We're all about informality.
Good. I like that.
Burping, anything you want. We don't care.
Nice. Yeah. So, like, I mean, it was great. It's just we started when we were so young. Like, I got signed when I was, like, 19. And, you know, we started making money. And then we stopped making money even quicker. And everybody was just like, you know, it's like things were really tense for a while. And, you know... Now, when that ended, it sort of gave me a chance to sit back and be like, okay, I got to start from the beginning and sort of relearn why I started, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's like now that I'm hanging on to that, you know, hanging on to that reason a little bit more.
You think it's more, think it's easier now to make money?
If there's an easier way, please tell me about it. Please show me where I can do this.
Well, I would just think that with all the kind of entrepreneurial aspects of being a musician now, with everything kind of collapsing, like the framework collapsing, that it would make it easier for a band now to kind of make the money directly instead of kind of going through 5 middle people that take their cut.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
I definitely haven't found it any easier yet, but it's, you know, I think in my situation, though, it's a little different just because we're in such a mid, like, in-between ground where nobody really knows what's going on, you know, except for we're just going for it.
So are you on a label now?
On Drive Through. I'm on Drive Through still. We're we're in between, you know, figuring out what the contract's going to be and everything, but we're still negotiating.
Because you had your own label too, right? Yeah. All right, so that's why I was wondering.
Had that, and you know, it was just unfortunate the timing of everything, you know, with the music business. Started that as everything started to go down, and it's just like, you know, I still want to keep that alive, but gotta wait until we sort of figure out where everybody sort of comes to grips with how the music business is going to start moving forward, you know? And
if you could do like a perfect world scenario, considering the way everything's going, like if you could be, you know, the hand of God and steer the industry just a little bit, but realizing you can't take it back to the way it was, where would you kind of steer it so there'd be pro musician, like individual musician or individual band, you know?
Man,
is that too early for that kind of question?
We might need to work into that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your childhood then.
No, if
did
I,
did you
if
like
I
your grandma?
Yeah. I loved her. Loved her. Well, and you know, she would say, and I would say if I could, say anything that I would change, that I would put in any type of direction, I would want to give like more power back to, basically like artists, like, you know, making it more like an art thing, not so much of a performance type thing. You know, it's like the way, I mean, I know that really doesn't make sense, but like
more or less of a business thing.
Yeah. Kinda? Like, well, less of a business, but like, I mean, when you watch the, you know, like the Grammy Awards, this is something that for some reason sits on me and like, I get real fired up about, but like when there's like best new artist, like awards and like people go up and claim the award and it's like, I want to thank everybody who wrote all the songs on this and everything. Like the industry to me is like, you know, it used to be like people used to be much more passionate about the art of it, you know? And it's like, I feel that has sort of, you know, I don't know.
But there's still hope because people are still all about Radiohead and they're all
about
like Muse,
right?
You know, things like that, U2, and those bands are still, they're not seen as pop
still
acts.
A lot of hope, yeah. Yeah. There just needs to be more younger bands and more bands following that, you know, that. Those footsteps.
So when you say there needs to be more younger bands, do you think that, I mean, because usually what I hear is there's too many bands.
Yes.
There's too many opportunities.
I'll say that too. Nowadays, there's way too many opportunities.
There's too much democracy, more or less.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so there needs to be more communism in the music industry.
No, I mean, at the same time, I can't criticize that at all because, you know, I guess I came in at a time when, you know, the whole like emo thing was like big and all those emo bands are getting signed. So I mean, like, if I were to say that, I'd sort of be hypocritical of myself, you know, but I don't know.
So where do you think it goes wrong? I mean, as much as, like, because you kind of said in the AP op-ed that you wrote about, there's all these bands and it's too easy.
Yeah. Nowadays, it does seem like it is
Pro Tools to fix that. You got this to fix that. You got.
I remember what, like, I thought was awesome when I first started doing records. Like, I wanted to do everything tape. I wanted to have no computers involved and be like, you know, yeah. And now, like, you know, you talk to younger bands and it's like, yeah, we went in the studio and, like, we barely even had to play. Like, they were able to, like, put everything in, like, you know, perfectly. It's like, it is much more easy to make, like, a perfect sounding record without even having to, I don't know, without even having to. Seriously, you could spend half the time on it and put half the effort into it and make it, you know, it's like, I guess that's the sound of today, though, what things sound like now. This whole thing, like, I get real fired up about. I just...
Well, go ahead and get fired up. We have lots of water.
Like I said, you know, it's a little early yet. I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to...
Well, in the second half, he's going to get really pissed off.
Yeah, then, you know, then I'll start to get... This is going to be a progressive, you know, step into the...
I'll just keep poking at you with it and then as we go along. Now, you're 26 or 27 now?
26.
26. So yeah. It's kind of weird because it's like, do you kind of already feel... And you've been doing this, what, 17, since 17, 18?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Playing music before then.
Yeah,
I mean, just playing.
We, I guess, started... The early November started when I was 17, so.
Okay, but prior to that, though, you were teaching, you were still doing stuff.
Yeah, still.
You were still
in
like,
bands, like, you know, trying to take it serious. And
so whatnot. When did you kind of, would you say you really, like, what was it, like, if, you know, the redundant, the writer calls you up and says, okay, we got to update your bio. When did you first pick up a guitar?
I first picked up a guitar, man, I guess I was 14 years old when I started playing, like, which was kind of late, but, I mean,
So it's 12 years since you first picked up a guitar.
Maybe I was 13. I can't remember. But one of those times.
Okay, so 12 or 11 years or 13 years, somewhere in that period, you've picked up a guitar. So, like, do you feel old already?
I feel old, yeah. And especially on this tour, I feel old because I'm the oldest person on the tour, which is really weird.
You've got to put that microphone back up against you. Just move it. It swirls.
Look. I apologize. There it is. There it is. Much better.
And you're the singer. Oh, jeez. Okay, it's all right. No, it's all good. It's early.
You know, I always got yelled at when the band started our first tours and whatnot. Like, all the sound guys would always scream at me for not being close enough to the mic. I feel like I'm right back
there.
You're
calling
in
it from the bus. That's great. No, but you need a headset. That's what it's telling you. You just need a headset. Just do the whole thing with the little...
That would be...
Like the use on the...
Could
on
you
the
imagine
shows.
That? Oh my God, that would be beautiful.
You hear everything?
I would want to get one of the the pilot headsets with the two big
cans. Oh, you really
want
to go out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I figure, you know, if I'm going to go that far, I might as well.
What the hell were we talking about? We were talking about
about
being old and on the tour that you feel you're the oldest guy on the tour.
I am the oldest man on this tour. And, you know, every single, I love all the bands, they're all so nice, but they all, have come up to me once or twice and said, oh man, when I was in middle school, I used to listen to you and all my friends. I'm like, oh man.
Your wife looks at you and goes, why are you looking more gray than you did yesterday?
Oh man.
Kenny Vasoli was in here the other day doing doing one of these interviews too, and
he's great.
He was talking. We were talking about how even for the starting line and for yourself, have to be for yourself. You're early November, and yourself was another one of those bands where it's like already you guys are at that stage where you are being called influential.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Does it make you kind of feel a little like it's like, God, is it over already? was that it?
That's such a good way to put it right there. Yeah. No, it really does
sometimes. I'm not trying to sink you into depression, but...
Right. It does sometimes, you know, when people come up to me and be like, yeah, you know, you're such an influence. You know, I grew up listening to you. I'm like, where did it go? You know, it is definitely one of those things, and you get that feeling sometimes, but, you know, I still know I got a lot of fight in me. I'm going for it, but this is it definitely makes you feel like that sometimes. Like, you know, where did all the time go? And what they say, you get your one chance at it, you know, and it's like, is it over? Is the chance over? I don't know. But
do you you ever get those conversations with fans that come up to you, or maybe fellow musicians that have come up to you, and they're like, wow, when you did that on this record or that song, it caused me to think this way and do this with my life and things like that. And, you know, now I'm writing this kind of music. And does it kind of force you to sit there and go, oh my God, I don't want to be that guy. I got to do something completely different now. I got to go do thrash metal. You know what I mean?
There's ever a time when I was like, I got to go do thrash metal. Man, that would be awesome. I would love to do that.
It's a side project.
Yeah, yeah, for real. Jeez.
Go join Sounds of Animals Fighting or something like that, or whatever. You could be the canary or something.
Oh, that would be great. That would be beautiful. I think, you know, when people say that, or, you know, I've never, like, I'm always like, I always feel like, you know, it means that I'm doing something right. You know, like I'm doing, you know, I would never really want to change. I don't think, just because, you know, I don't know. I feel like this is pretty much the only... all I'm good at, you know, with it. So it's like, I never really feel like when somebody says stuff like that, like, you know, like I have to do something different, or I don't want to be that. But I don't know. You're making me think differently, though.
The thrash metal record's next.
Yeah, I can't get my mind off of the thrash metal right now.
Bring it up to drive through. I'm sure that contract will be renegotiated real fast. It was like when Donna Summer decided to do a country record and the label went, no. So when I don't want to make the whole conversation about early November, but as younger bands come up to you and say, you guys really influenced me and things like that. And now that you're kind of, with every month that goes by, since you guys put everything on hiatus, I guess is that kind of what it was, kind of like, it's on hiatus? Is it like, how would you describe what early November is? This is kind of,
I'd say,
hear it out of your mouth.
We're, I mean, we,
it's definitely
stopped. It's definitely like, you know, everybody's moved on and like, we're all really good friends and we just have realized like, you know, we're much better at being friends, you know?
Okay. Okay.
And it's like, you know, we might just, you know, hang out once in a while, but like probably won't, you know, end up doing anything like another tour or anything like that. I could see maybe like a show here or there just to like, you know, for like, you know, just for fun or something, you know,
right.
around home. But
it's a really free way to kind of do it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just freeing. It's like there's no responsibility. There's no obligation, I guess, is the way to say
and
it.
And it actually feels really good like that because, you know, at the end it was like, you know, we all really care about each other a lot, but it got really bitter, you know? And it's like, it's good to have that, like, you know, we're all really, you know, friends now. We all like call each other, you know, or talk once in a while. And it's just like, you know, it's just a good feeling to know that, like, you know, it's not going to be ever serious like it was. You know, we might hang out once in a while, we might, like, you know, have a good time, whatever, we might, you know, do like a surprise show like around home once, you know, ever. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but like, you know, it's like just knowing that like it's nothing serious and it's just like, you know, we can be friends rather than, you know, whatever it became, you know, it's like, it's a great feeling.
So. But you know, it was interesting because I was talking with Sean from Cute Is What We Aim For earlier. And for him, they got to that precipice where they almost ended it.
Yeah.
And then they kind of brought in Dave and it kind of resuscitated itself with a whole new creative aspect to it. And I usually find with band member friends of mine that are in bands that are not at your level and you know, where they're professional. You guys can put down on the passport, professional musician.
Right.
Where they're in a group with a bunch of other guys and gals and they don't know, they don't feel like it's working, but they don't know if they should give up.
Right.
And so like for you guys, you got to that point where you guys decided, you know what, we need to have a real serious, honest conversation.
Yeah.
But how did you know you were at that point versus kind of like where Sean was, where it's just like his gut was telling him, no, it's not that point yet. Where we just kind of got to take some space away from each other.
I think, you know, for us, like we knew we were at that point just because there was people like every day, like, you know, we're quitting, we're going home. Like,
oh, okay.
You know, it's just like, for us, it got like very extreme and very, very bitter, very bitter. You know, it was like everybody was, you know, very bitter. And it wasn't, I can't blame it on everybody because like, it was a really confusing time. Like, I mean, I think the thing that most of our fans don't understand is like where the early November was, like we had come off of like a high point, like after we released our second to last record, it was like, you know,
right,
like we were doing like very well. And then, you know, all of a sudden it was like a switch flipped and, you know, things just started to fall apart. Like things just started to fall through. And it's like, as things fell apart, like we sort of fell apart together, you know, as a group, as weird as that may sound. But like when we put our last record out, like we were at like a high, we were like, oh, this is going to be just as good. I mean, we sold like the first week. I remember the first week of our release, if I can be totally honest, like the first week, like we sold a good amount of records, you know, we were on the top, like we were number 31 on Billboard 200, you know, it's like, we were really psyched. Like, cause you know, we did like more, this is going to sound weird, but it was at the time it was the biggest drive through debut release, you know? And then a few weeks later, like Hello Goodbye came out and that was just like a monster. It was just like shattered everything, you know? And it was like, you know, for us, it was like, we slowly watched like people like lose faith or, you know, like just places like, you know,
the booking offers came in less.
Yeah. Like things just started to happen slower and slower. And it was just like, you know, it went from such a drastic, like high point, like such a, you know, we're on cloud nine to like, you know, we don't know what we're doing so quickly. And like, I guess the shock of what everybody expected and what everybody wanted, like, we just weren't on the same page anymore.
Because that was the, like, triple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Triple and I, record, yeah.
It was just crazy. That whole thing was really intense. You know, we went in to do that record and like, we were, like, a week before we went in to do the record, Jeff had quit the band. He wasn't even going to play on the record. And then, like, when we went in to record, he was like, he called me, he's like, you know what, I want to be in the band again. And we were like, okay, let's do this. You know, it was just like, we had like an up and down roller coaster.
Oh, that's right, yeah, because he did come back again, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we had like an up and down thing through the whole thing. So it was just like it was just crazy. You know, we knew that it was time, that we were just all sort of going in different places, heading in different directions. You know, we all wanted different things out of it.
You know, in every organization, every band, every group of people, whatever, there's the rah-rah person. There's the, you know, leaders and followers, that whole kind of thing. And there's the one person that's shit hits the fan and they're like, yeah, but it ain't that smelly. You know, the optimistic one. You know, like the one that everybody kind of looks to and goes, okay, if when they start freaking, then I know it's really bad.
Right.
So was that you in the band? Like the more kind of like the...
Yeah, I mean...
spine and then...
You could say that, you know, that I was definitely that... I guess when they saw me get nervous and me sort of get discouraged with some of the decisions we were making as a, you know, unit, that, you know, then they were like, okay, you know, now we can tell, you know, and then, you know, everybody just started doing their different things. And at that point, you know, I guess everybody was just like sort of detached from it. And, you know, then we decided it was going to be our last tour and we were going to end, you know.
Do you remember just... and I'll move on from this, but I'm just kind of curious as to, do you remember the conversation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it in a bus or was it in a...
No, it was in a diner, actually. Diner near where we live. It was, we always like used to have band meetings at that diner when we were, when we were starting, and we were like, you know, we got to have a meeting. And it was just a fitting place to have that conversation. We're like, you know, I mean... And I don't want to make it seem like, you know, there's any type of hostility anywhere, because now we're all so much better friends.
No, I mean, it's been reported that you guys are friends.
Yeah, we're like, we're way better friends. But at the time, you know, it was like, I wanted to do something differently. I wanted, you know, Joe wanted to do something differently. Jeff wanted to, he was starting another band. Like, you know, Bill wanted to get out of it, you know, and Serge just wanted to go home and, you know, live normal life and everything. It's just like... You know, and we had that conversation. I remember, like, you know, remember it very clearly. But it's just like, yeah, it got a little bit intense. It got a little bit crazy. But, you know, it was like we came away from it being like, you know what? You know, this is, it's not that bad of a thing just because we had fun. You know, we did good. You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean that everything stops here for all of us. It means, you know, we just start something differently.
Did you feel guilty about it? Like you were letting the fans down? Was that any part of you? Because, like... I just kind of wonder, like, if you left that meeting and then you went home and then you had to get on the early November's MySpace and you still saw these MySpace comments saying, you mean everything to me. I can't wait to see you guys when you come through Phoenix again. And you're just like...
I feel like, you know, I don't want to say guilty. I mean, there's definitely a weird feeling there. It's just like, you sort of like, you know, you don't want to let anybody down type thing. But, you know, it's like... For me, it, like, the way I balance it is, like, I put, like, you know, all the years that I was in the early November, like, I put everything I had into it. You know, I invested my life, my soul, my heart into it, and that's cheesy sounding, but, like, I really did. And, you know, and for all my fans who have stuck by me through it, like, I will continue to do that forever. You know, it's like, I put that, you know... I like to have, like, you know, that's so important to me,
right?
You know, just to invest that much into it and really show, like, you know, fans that, you know, that's not going to stop and that's never going to stop. So it's like anybody, you know, I do feel guilty for the people who are like, oh, you know, it's just never going to be the same and you broke my heart. Like there were people who were angry about it, you know, but it's like, you know, feel guilty. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, if you can't see, you know, what I'm still trying to make this, you know, to put just as much into it, you know, and doing whatever. So,
did you ever kind of feel like you weren't being allowed to grow? Like the fan base or like the commitments to you know, you got commitments to your label, you got commitments to managers, you got commitments to people that are making a living off of the machine that is Early November, wasn't Early November. And it's like, you know, I kind of like felt like, what do I say to these? I mean, right. Were they understanding?
Yeah, they were really, everybody was really understanding. I guess everybody saw it coming. So like, it was
that helps.
Easy. Yeah.
In a you way.
Everybody sort of saw it coming and was like, and was, you know, very all right with it and very, you know, was just happy that we were finally getting along as a group, you know?
Right.
We had years of just of fighting. We had a lot of good times, but we had a lot of bad times, you know? So it's like everybody was really, I think, more relieved just to see that we were, you know, finally all agreeing on something and moving towards it.
Well, last question about Early November, and we'll move on from that.
Okay. Just,
but, and I'm trying to ask different questions. I know maybe I'm not succeeding in this, but
no, you're doing fabulous.
Am I doing
it's oh, it's amazing.
Oh my God, thank God. I'm putting it on my Facebook. If again, now as you're kind of like month after month goes by since that day at the diner, time does a wonderful thing to put things in perspective, as with any relationship or job you had or learning experience. So if you had to kind of just do a 1, 2, 3 of what the past, those 12 years or so did, what you learned from those about maybe just life.
Wow. Okay. I learned from life.
Because you toured the world.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean
road
like,
ages you, you know?
What would be
like, what did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about people? What did you learn about society or business or anything, you know, like those life lessons, because the road does age you.
Yeah,
I mean,
really,
you know, you're 26, but technically you're 36,
right?
In your experiences, you know, it's right. you know.
No, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I was definitely always the type of, you know, person to just to try and take in everything and, you know, and learn from it, because of, you know. I guess the most stuff that, you know, that I would take from the whole thing is like, you know, I've, that I tried following my heart, you know, and following my gut and instincts, you know, and it's, you know, you learn that it's not always the right thing, but it's like, it's there's like a fine line, because you follow that, it's not always the right thing, but it's always the thing that's going to make you feel best at the end of the day, you know? So it's like,
right.
For me, it's like, man, I don't know. This is a rough one. I'm
wait till we talk about religion.
I know. Geez, it's going to be intense. It's going to be crazy in here.
I'm all about existentialism.
Nice.
But you know what I'm saying? Like there's those things that you kind of, when you're experiencing life, that, you know, like some people would sit there and say, wow, people suck. People by nature suck. Other people sit there and say, generally people are good down
right.
deep. But you know what I mean? It's like, did you learn anything from?
About people? Yeah. I agree with both of those things right there. It's like,
I gave you a cheat sheet to come up with something else.
I know, but I definitely agree with both of those things. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the most thing that I learned is just like, you know, just keep believing, you know, and following. Like, I mean, people are rotten and people are generally good, but it's like, it's, I know I'm talking in circles now. It's just like, this question for me is like, you know,
I stumped you.
You're like, I'm just like stuck in a hole right now.
Okay, then let me try to give it. We actually take 2 song breaks, and why don't I make this one a little bit easier for you? Actually, it's probably the harder one. And you've probably been asked this by fanzines, I would imagine, the ones that are left. So for the record, the final record, 2 songs, your 2 favorite songs from Early November days.
2 favorite songs. Let's see. I'll definitely have to say a song called Figure It Out. It was on the last record.
Mm.
And that always means a lot to me.
What's that? What's that one in particular? Like written at a particular time or
yeah,
the theme of it?
Or, yeah, just the whole theme of it for me, like, sort of, you know, just summed it, like, you know, summed up the final, you know, steps. Like, I could sort of see, you know, what was happening, I guess, and sort of summed it up for me, you know, as mm-hmm. as far as what everything that was going on. And I guess if I had to pick another favorite song, I'll pick one that's not such a droner. let's see.
Welcome to depression talk.
Let's see. What else would I choose out of that whole thing? I was, you know, a fan of our song. Which one? Let's say I'm gonna go with another song called "No Good at Saying Sorry." That was also off the last record. Like, those were probably my two favorites that I had made with the band. So, definitely.
Thank you.
Different people.
Yes. A million different people.
A million different people. Where did that name come from?
I thought of it when I was listening to the Bittersweet Symphony, the Verve, you know.
Right.
And you know, it says I'm a million different people from
right.
one day to the next type thing. And it's just like I felt like, you know, at the time, like I don't know, sort of just, you know, I was sitting there being all like for lack of a better word, emo, you know. And being like,
it's,
oh,
it's going
man.
Back to the depression talk.
Yeah.
Again. We're not going to get out of this.
Just,
I should be putting Joy Division music behind all this.
And, you know, sitting there and just being like, man, you know, that makes sense. You know, it's like, just makes sense for me. And that's where I got the name. And then sort of like right after that, I'm like, you know what I want to do? We had this idea actually right after we came up with the name to do this song. We're actually covering Bittersweet Symphony and got like a ton of people from a ton of bands to like sing on it as well. Like Kenny sings on it, mm-hmm. and you know, Bryce from the Rocket Summer, Aaron from Copeland, like a ton of people sang on it, and it's came out really cool and awesome. So
what is this? What is this? This phase of your life, this act, that act. Oh God, it makes it sound like it's a cat routine. This weekend at Vegas, it's Sahara, Ace Enders, and his cat.
I wish.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Make a lot of money.
That would be the way to make money. That's what I should do. Get a cat. And...
By the time you guys get to, where you playing tomorrow night?
Detroit.
You have a whole cat act figured out.
Might as well.
3.5-hour trip. you could do it.
I think so.
Yeah, but what is this? What's this allowing you to do now creatively that you couldn't do before? Like, how? What's coming out of you now that is just like now has this outlet?
I think more than anything is just like the mind frame is just like I was able to take a step out of it, take a step out of the business, take a step out of everything for a little bit.
Wow.
Refresh and like be like, okay, this is my goal. Like, remember what my goal is. Like, I always said since I was a kid, it's super cheesy, but like I always said, like, I wanted to help people. I wanted to, you know, change the world. Like, I honestly said that. And like, you know, that was always my goal, but I know that's like not a goal to have, but like what I want, like, you know, obviously is to be able to, on one hand, you know, make a living from doing this and, you know, be successful. On the other hand, like, probably the most important thing of every night is if somebody comes up and says, like, you know, you helped me get through something. And it's like, that's, I mean, the motivation for this is like, you know, it's just, now it's like, I know what I want. I know what I'm going for. And like, it's just, I guess, easier because, you know, I don't have to worry about letting anyone else down, you know? Like, I always felt like with a band, like if I didn't make something a certain way or do something the right way, like, I would let four other people down, you know? And it's like, this way is like, you know, I could sort of, you know, just do freely, you know, whatever.
But we're going to end up talking about that band again, but... But I mean, with then you kind of had a democracy though. So even if you had an idea, it was still kind of debated and discussed and modified.
Yeah.
In a way.
In a way.
So now you're just, is it really just your opinion, just your viewpoint? And
well, me and, you know, me and my wife definitely.
Okay.
Like,
right.
It's a very, like, she pretty much handles all the work, you know?
Right.
Like, she's
right.
Like, you know, I definitely wouldn't be able to do it without her, you know?
I'm just like, thinking, like, creatively, though.
Creatively?
Yeah,
like,
creatively.
I would say, like, yeah, just basically going with it. Like, I did, like, a record last winter, you know, and I had, like, a bunch of studio musicians play on it, and it was, like, I didn't necessarily want to do the record like that,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, at the time, like, it was, like, you know, everybody sort of was, like, this is how you have to do it. We're going to take it to the next level and whatnot, and, you know, I made the songs I wanted to make, but at the end of the day, I guess everybody wasn't, you know, creatively or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever came out of it wasn't exactly what it needed to be. So it's like, you know, now it's like I'm going to record another record after this tour to replace it, you know.
And wow, okay, right.
Yeah.
Those are the seven songs or so that were on the Fuse thing?
No. That was a completely different thing.
Okay.
Because then I found out the original record I recorded wasn't going to be coming out. So then I recorded another thing, like, did it by myself in my studio, you know, yeah, put that one out for free, and now it's, like, time where, like, well, we're going to record another record.
Okay.
Because, you know, and going up to record it, and living in my van to do it, and, you know, we're figuring out a way to pay for it and whatnot, and just roughing it, and, you know, it's weird because I know it sounds like a little bit weird, you know, but I mean, this for me is like, I know like I'm letting myself put everything into this. Like, I'm letting myself
right.
like go up and put a lot of things on the line right now to make this work. And
Is it scary though? I think that was what I was going to ask before. Was that kind of now it's just you?
Yeah.
And it's not the band.
Right.
So now is it kind of hesitations for you? Like, am I doing it the right way? Because you don't have like what you had before. Or is it just like you're just so liberated that you're just like, it's like being in a playpen right now. You're just throwing stuff all over the place.
No. I mean, I definitely get a little bit like, you know, nervous of some things. You know, it is different not having everybody, like, you know, being able to fall back on that, like, you know, but because now I know, like, whatever happens wrong is all on me, you know, whatever
right
bad decisions are made are all on me. So it's like, yeah, you know, it's definitely a little bit scary. It's like, you know, just knowing that, you know, I have to do what you have to do, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, and having confidence that you're gonna, you know, no matter what you do, like as long as it's coming from my heart, that's how I look at it now. As long as it's coming from my heart and I really mean it and I really mean what I'm doing, like I'm doing the right thing, you know? So I try and use that as my whatever.
You know, when you were starting out, it was good. You did good. When you were starting out playing music, there were certain bands that inspired you at the time. And now it's interesting because it, kind of like when musicians get to their second band and they're in their mid-20s or so, it's almost like they're their college years where they start right. discovering all different types of music that they weren't listening to before.
Right.
So it's like you're talking about the Verve and things like that. Like what other bands or maybe styles of music have you been getting into over the past couple of years that has been kind of influencing what you're putting out now and what you're planning to do in the future?
I've definitely been listening to like a lot of like, you know, I've always loved the Verve and whatnot, but bands like, you know, I'm huge, huge, like Coldplay's last record.
Okay,
like
yeah.
I really like love that. Like Ryan Adams.
Single.
Like, yeah.
What a catchy single.
It's they're, you know, it's really great. I really am, you know, always been into like, you know, Muse and stuff like that. And, you know, I pretty much have listened to the same stuff since I started. Like Pearl Jam, my favorite band ever. Got to listen to that every day. But I mean, like, it's
which
like,
record's like your favorite?
I'd say for me is like Yield, because that's my record that made me want to do what I'm doing.
Really?
So, you know, that's, as far as music and like, I usually, for some reason, like I never get into like, if I get into something new, it'll be like 2 years after everybody else got into it.
Oh, right.
You know,
right.
Like that type of thing.
Is it because like you're just like, you're rejecting it because it got big, or is it because it's,
I'm just slow.
Slow.
I'm just slow. Simple as that.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I listen to the same things I've been listening to, you know, and just very, in that groove, I guess, you know. Always been a huge Death Cab fan and huge,
okay.
You know.
You like
Jimmy
the new
World.
Record?
Yeah, I do. I definitely, you know, I love their old stuff. Like, you know, it has a special place in my heart, but I do love the new record as well. I think it's great.
How is it when you're sitting up on the stage and you're doing your new material and, how are the, what's the audience looking like to you? I mean, it look like they're going, all right, I'm going to give him a chance. Like I'm gonna open my mind and like he's not doing, you know, he's not doing what he was doing. He's doing something. So I'm giving you that break, or, you know. So are they open minded? Or they seem to be somewhat skeptical? Do you think that there's like certain kind of pockets of the audience that are responding to you in a particular way?
I think that,
or is it kind of like all just love?
You know, yeah, I mean, it's a weird one. It's weird to say, because the last all the tours that we've been doing, like the fans that come out that know me have all been really open and
that's
receptive
great.
To everything.
That's great.
But most of the crowd, like on all the tours we've been doing, like have no idea who I am at all.
Really?
So it's like, yeah, they have like just absolutely no idea. Like this tour is like the tour we're on now, like is great. Like the kids are great. It's a very young crowd, and it's like most of them didn't grow up with me because, you know, they're growing up with
right
everything now. So it's like, you know, they don't know, and, you know, they're very open to it and very, you know, get a great response every night. But it's like most of the fans that do come out to the shows, like if they come out, like they're mm-hmm. very open to it, you know, and it's been great. Like I can't even, like all the great feedback that I've gotten from the past Early November fans and I Can Make a Mess fans, like has been great. Like, I'm very thankful.
Your
for
flyers
that.
And your the stuff that you put out that the creative pieces, the artwork that you and your wife put together, that are for publication purposes, for newspaper ads and web banners and things like that. Was there a conscious decision whether to discuss, like, do we put down from the Early November? Because like, well, I noticed like when Cinematic Sunrise were doing some of their dates, some of the promoters were like, the kids don't know who Cinematic Sunrise, so they had to start adding with Craig Owens from Chiodos.
Right, right.
And so like, was it, that's something you guys had to discuss, and how did, what was like
yeah.
kind of like your ultimate decision on that?
If it's strongly like, if a promoter or like whoever, you know, is doing the ad really wants it in there, like we'll put, you know, of the Early November in there.
Okay.
But most of the time we'll just leave it. Figure like
so you don't have like a set rule saying you cannot do it or you can't, right, you know, yeah, or please do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm not going to be weird about it because it is, you know, my past and, you know, I it'll always be a part of me. But at the same time, I do want to, you know, gain like fans who would not sort of look at that and be like, oh, you know,
right,
I'm not going to listen to it or it's not going to be the same or whatever. Like, it's really weird because a lot of people, because we put it as, you know, on this whole tour as just Ace Enders. It doesn't say the early November anywhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kids will come up and be like, you know, I was a fan of the early November. I had no idea that you were on the show or who you were or anything like that.
It's amazing.
It's just like, it's like, you know, re-winning over that fan, you know, feels much better than them just being like, you know, oh, you know, I was, you know, I'm just coming, but it's not the same, you know, it'll always, you know. So it's like...
Does it kind of teach you a lesson, though, a little bit about how you maybe need to, I don't know if it's necessarily marketing or some of that. Because I would sit there, I was in that position, I'd be sitting there going, okay, either I didn't stand out enough,
right,
you know, and I was wallpaper in the band, yeah, or...
Right, well, no, I would definitely love to be able to, marketing, but, like, my hands are sort of tied with it. Like, I don't have the control or anything to make any of that happen. Hmm. So, like, I want them all to know who I am, and I want all my old early November fans to realize that this is me and not get surprised when they come to a show. But, you know, it's like there's only so much right. I can do with my space.
And, right.
And
or you could do like some of those guys do, and they, you know, like come back like 5 years from now and say the early November reformed, it's only you.
Yeah.
And that's where the lawsuits start flying. Yeah. You know? It's like the bass player comes back and like, yeah. Misfits are back together. It's only the bass player. Thanks. Oh, you know, I did you when you guys were sitting down with the t-shirts and your merch and things like that, did you was there like a conscious decision to kind of to hit the refresh button? Like, did you purposely say we can't do that because it looks like what we did before?
Yeah, I mean, well, not really a conscious decision to do. You know, it's like. We pretty much, if it's in the same vein, it's in the same, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Really didn't pay much attention to that stuff. It's just like, you know, do what we do, you know, that's it. Just go with it, you know, so.
How much time do you spend at the merch booth for yourself?
I like to be there, like, you know, like after we play, like, you know, the in between, like, you know, when... like, you know, into like a few songs into a cute set, you know, so from after we play to like, so probably like 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, or before the show, whenever. But I've, you know, usually before the show, since like I was saying, like, a lot of people don't really know who I am. They're just like, I'm the oldest guy in the building
the
at the
guy.
Point. Yeah. So like the people just like walk by like, who's that? Kind of looks like Michael Cera, but that's all I got.
How many malls have you been stopped in, by the way?
I don't even want to talk about it.
Why? Because you're going to egg it on? Really? Okay.
How many malls? Has...
You know?
For looking like Michael Cera?
Yeah.
All the time.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
People think that I look like him a lot at shows.
Well, I mean, I can
whatnot.
See the connection. Right. But yeah. I just didn't.
Yeah. I mean, it happens once in a while, and it's funny. Like, I, you know. I get a kick out of it. There's be like, we'll be like going into like a restaurant or something, and like you'll hear like a group of people as we walk by, I'll be like, "Oh my god, that's Mike! This is a kid from Superbad." Like whisper it real low, and I'll be like, "Oh man."
You ever sign awesome. Some autographs? You know, his name and stuff. Do you go beyond that? Do the MySpace pictures and the whole thing like that?
I should.
There's another way to make some money.
There you go. That'll
impersonating
do
impersonating celebrities. That's great. That's really, really good. So what exactly is, what's on your plans for 2009 at this point? Do you have any sort of, I mean, obviously you want to put out the next record.
Yeah.
But is there anything else like beyond that? I mean, kind of like, you know, are you thinking about, other, not music projects necessarily, but other things that you want to do or things like things with your life or I don't know if you've been wanting to build a log cabin. I don't know.
I would love to build a log cabin. That would be great. That would be awesome. I think, you know, coming up, like, I definitely want to put the record out, see how it goes. You know, I definitely want to, you know, since I am getting, you know, getting up there, I'm the senior citizen of this tour and probably the next one as well. So, like, you know, I'm going to want to, like, you know.
This is really bothering you about the age thing, isn't it?
No, it's not. I'm very bitter about it, but I'm all right. No, not really. It's just it's my fallback. I'm looking forward to having a record come out, seeing how things are gonna go. Looking forward to eventually starting having a family and all that stuff, and
right?
Being a all American man. So
gonna do the Willie Nelson thing and have the whole family on the road all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. No, definitely right now, just taking it one step at a time. Like, it seems like every day something else changes or there's a huge shift in the whole plan. So it's like right now I just want to go focus on recording this record, making it everything it can be. I'm going to have some time to think. I'll be, like I said, camping outside of my van because I can't afford a hotel. And, making up some hot dogs every night, making some s'mores. And, put the record out, tour a little bit, have a family. And, hopefully by that time, I'm in, doing all right.
Where do you go camping? Is there a particular place in the country you hang out in particular? Or?
No. I'm just going to be camping, I guess, in a parking lot or wherever I can find.
Camp Walmart. It's very popular.
Camp whatever. I'm just going to be wherever it'll have me. So I would love to go camping at, the Grand Canyon or something. That would be great. But that's,
I know the parks have increased their fees lately.
That would be too much
fun. They have too much fun? Yeah. Deny yourself. Well, yeah. You do have to suffer for your art in order to create good art. So.
Yeah. So, I can't let myself have too much enjoyment. Definitely.
If you want to have real fun, just start, camping in the parking lot of a local police station, and you'll have some wild experiences after about the second day.
I think so. That would be, maybe I will. I'll try that out.
So, why don't we play, take another, our second song break, and why don't you give me two songs that you would want, let's say that fan of yours that hasn't seen you yet and hasn't heard the new stuff yet, and you're like, these are the two songs I want you to hear that I'm doing now.
Okay, cool.
What those two songs would be?
I'm going to say play Reaction.
Okay.
Off of the free thing, and Rain.
And why those two in particular? Should they be listening to certain things or?
It's just continuing, I guess, my journey of where I am now. Right. I guess of what's going on. Like, if you listen to it, you'll hear little subtle things of of where we are and why we are here, So I would definitely say those two songs are good ones to catch up on.
Gonna close on you. So I say, face. You've been there for days now, and I can feel the weight. But just as things should get back to normal, they're not quite for me. Rain, wash away my fear. Stay here, just as you.
Just waiting for you to get fired up. I'll know probably when you start cursing or something.
So. You know, I actually have a terrible problem. It's been since my whole entire life. I have no idea why. It's some weird mental thing. I can't curse at all. Like, it's like a block. Like, I feel like I'm going to vomit if I do. Because, you know, I have tried, but I feel like I'm going to throw up. I get dizzy. Like, it's really like a weird psychological thing.
That's really interesting.
I can't, like, I can't get around it. And I've tried, but I can't.
Did friends of yours in high school like call you certain names because, like, you know, not goody two shoes, but like, you know, Mr. You know what I mean? It's like, because,
yeah, I mean, I've always had a group of friends who, when they realize it, they start to pick on it a little bit. But it's like, You know, it's whatever.
They try and taunt it out of you.
Yeah, it's just, it is what it is. It's who I am, and, you know, it's got to be for a reason. That's the way I look at it. I have no idea why, but it's got to be for a reason.
You can make a lot of mothers very happy with you if you just promoted that really well.
Yeah.
Curse-free shows. It could be. You never know, you know?
Yeah.
So let's you started off this whole conversation with kind of an allusion to it about the music industry. And where everything is going and things and the hell and the crazy and so forth. And like, if you could, you know, from your musician friends, you're talking about the Verve song and you had all your friends on. But when you guys are, mics are off and you're out and you're having some dinner and maybe you're hanging out or something like that, if you could get a temperature or a mood for all of your friends in the music industry, what would you describe that mood as right now? Taking all the managers, the record companies, everybody out of it, just the musicians, just your friends and bands.
I mean, it's always different. And I would say, like, for me personally, like, uh-huh. which may be different from everybody because I can only, like, for me, it's just like, the mood is just like, you know, come on already, you know? Like, mm-hmm. let's, you know. It's just like, that's my mood. You know, it's like, I mean, I know, like, it's frustrating for a lot of us because, like, so many people have, like, put so much time and, like, went through the ropes. And I, like, you know, went through times of, like, you know, where you're in the band and you sleep on people's floors. You're, like, you know, like, doing all that stuff. And you really, like, feel like you pay your dues and you get somewhere. And then all of a sudden, like, everything gets, you know, pulled out. And, like, all these labels now, everybody's doing a deal, like a 360 deal or yeah. something where they like take everything. And it's like, you know, it's like, what are you doing? Like, you know, it's like everybody's confused, but nobody ever wants to admit to being confused. And nobody like ever wants to admit to making any mistakes. It's always like, for me, I always feel like it's always, it's just like, no one will accept responsibility for why things are where they are. And that's my mood is like no one will. And it's just, you know, what are we going to do next? What's the next, you know, how's this going to get fixed, you know? But nobody will accept any responsibility that they had any part to why the business is where it is right now and why we are all struggling and it's getting harder to make money. It's getting harder to survive and make a living doing this, you know? Like, I've been doing this for years now and, you know, it's it's getting harder and harder. You know, kids, there's more kids, you know, than ever.
Right.
There's more, like, younger kids. It's more, this music is more mainstream now than I think even some of the mainstream music. And it's like, things are, you know, really growing like that. But for the bands that aren't, like, the, you know, in success and then out the next day, like,
right.
you're not in that, you know, you're not, it's hard to make a living. It's really difficult. And it's like, being one of those bands in that clump is like, you know, and watching everybody around being like, oh, I'm blaming everything on everybody else and how stupid fans are and how stupid, you know, downloading is and how stupid, like,
right.
you know, like all the labels out there, all everybody contributed to making that so easy for people. It's like, you know, put out like no artist would ever want to realize or want to say. And I'll say this like because I do have a little bit of hostility towards the whole, you know, artist aspect of it, but like no artist will ever say like it's partly my fault because I decided to make a hit song on this record or a song that everybody would jump and dance around to, and then, you know, I you know, let's say you know, took a little bruise in my integrity or whatever and, you know, made a song that wasn't what I wanted to do, but it got kids to notice me, but the rest of the record they didn't care about, so they only bought that song. And nobody's ever going to own up to being like...
So we trained them to be single culture.
Right. And that's like part of the reason why, like, it's everybody's fault. It's the musician's fault. It's like, you know, it's crazy. Nobody will ever take the blame for it, though. That's the...
I sometimes wonder if, like, if what's happening is this collapse of the money aspect of the... money generating aspect of the music industry is causing the greed
Yeah.
The people that are in it for greed.
Definitely.
To be weeded out. And so what's ended up happening is now you're just going to end up having the people, the DIY people, the innovator
really
people.
I hope that that happens. I really hope that that's how it goes and that, like, that would be my, yes, you know, we win. But, like, what it looks like is happening is the people that are greedy most of the time are the people that have a little bit more power and are like, we're going to find out ways to make sure we stay afloat right now, you know? And it's like, they'll do whatever they can to stay up there. And the people who are like, the artistic people who are like trying to push forward artistically are going to be like, I'm going to do whatever I can to just make art better or do what I can to, you know, to keep going. Like I will have made 4 records this year, 4 records of all new stuff and all new everything. And like, I'm doing whatever I can right now to stay afloat and not stay afloat. Like financially is a big thing, but like stay afloat, just like artistically stay afloat passionately. Like, you know, keep this going. Like
I'm not getting jaded or bitter.
Right. Like, and I'm like, and there's a lot of people like me right now that are just doing what they do because it's, you know, and getting taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like, you know, it's like I'm going into the studio and this is no disrespect to anyone in the world, but I'm going into the studio next month, you know, and me and my manager are paying for it. Like I'm going to be sleeping in a van. Like I'm going to be like for a whole month. And it's like, I've been doing this for 8 years now. I've sold 500,000 records. I've, you know, like, why do I have to do that? But why am I going to do it? Because like, I'm going to make sure my art is the best it can possibly be. And when it comes out, that it's all it can be, you know? And it's like, there's always going to be people who are like, you know, that's on the other side or whoever really, you know, it's like, I don't know, man, I'm at that point where I'm about to get frustrated, but you know, it's like, I don't know. I feel like I would love to see the greedy people, like you're saying, get weeded out and the true people who really believe in this and believe that this is here, not just for a money-making thing, but here to help change, to help people and, you know, to be art and to be something beautiful. Like, I hope that they win. I hope that that happens. I really do.
I kind of wonder, though, sometimes, like, when the system is so corrupted or concocted and rigged, yeah, I guess, in a way to benefit a certain type of power structure or business plan or shareholder or whatever the deal is, that really the opportunities now become, especially because there's so much that from a software and a hardware method that's ending up in the hands of just your general citizens, i.e. musicians, right? That now the musicians are allowing to be more in control of things that they were reliant upon that system, right, before. So maybe I sometimes wonder, and when I talk to musicians, I debate with them about whether we just haven't reached that we haven't taken the ball far enough down the field yet.
Right.
We're not there yet, but we're running.
Right.
We're going down there. And somebody among all of us that are not part of that huge thing, because I'm not, I'm right, definitely not. But if one of us is going to figure out a application, a website, a something that is going to be the next, I guess what Napster did to the industry, which gave the power back to the consumer,
right,
took it away from the 17, 18, 99 CD, but it's going to allow musicians such as yourself to figure out, how do I be self-sufficient and make enough money so that I can have a family?
Right. Right.
But we're just not there yet. Right. And we're in that suffering period right now because everybody's trying to figure out, okay.
I think you're going to find a whole new, like, in order for that to happen, there's going to be a whole new group of bands, artists, music, like, you know, like where we are now, like,
yeah,
with all of us, like, I know, like, you know, like, I'm like, there would be, for I guess most musicians in my position, like I'm under certain rules contractually that I would not be able to, like, you know, right. find that other way unless, you know, my label was, you know, cool with it or making that right. other way happen. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of like for unsigned bands now and, you know, bands coming up like, you know, that are getting huge MySpace plays, whatever, you know, yeah. whatever makes a band, you know, special now. Like
it's still talent.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Probably more so than before, because before they just paid somebody off and they became big. Now they don't. I mean, well, no, seriously, yeah, because yeah. of payola and all that stuff like that.
Right. Like, now there's just so much more.
There's just so much. So really, it does kind of come down to
talent. Weed
out to
the, the special ones, right? And I think that, you know, you're going to, there's going to be like a whole new uprising of like just, yeah, new music.
You're seeing, I mean, we saw what Radiohead did. Right. Even though they kind of stayed with Capitol, but you saw right. what they did on their own. And then you see Nine Inch Nails doing it on his own
mm-hmm.
and releasing stuff all the time. And, you know, and now we have that new system where you as an artist finish it on Friday night in the studio and you released it by Sunday night.
Right.
There's not even that lag time with, you know, well, we got to roll it out. We got to let everybody know and do the press cam. No, it's just, you put it out. It's done. So, and you're seeing bands like, look what Les and Jake did, made their own label, just did a distribution deal.
Right.
So you're seeing, and we're just now starting to see these bands kind of where their contracts are up with these labels, and they're going, all right, let me see. I sold 40,000 records, and I got a $50,000, $80,000 advance, but I sold 40,000 records. I haven't seen another dime since then.
Right.
Doing the label route. And I'm getting pressured to do a 360 deal now. If I sold 40,000 records through that route, if I sold 40,000 records at my merch booth, for $10 a pop.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Right. So that's what's a lot of money. You know, and what if you sold 10,000 records, but you made enough money so that you paid all your bills for the year and you recouped your costs versus selling 40,000 records on a label and being indebted forever. What's the benefit? So now it's not about I sold 40,000, it's like I'm happy with 10,000. I don't have to impress anybody anymore.
Right. You don't have to impress. That's just being comfortable. You know, it's just yeah. That's yeah. That's a beautiful. No, it's you know, for people who are like, you know, anybody who's cool with that, like that's great. Like, you know, that would be, it's, yeah.
Is that kind of? Would you be happy with that scenario though?
I would love.
If you only sold 10,000 things of everything that you did, but you made enough money so that you got a house for your family.
Well, you don't
happy.
Have you don't have the pressure of like, right. oh, you have to make this. So like,
right,
zillions of people are gonna love it. You
would
know?
It bum you out like you're not on radio, but yet. You made enough money to have a nice living?
I don't think it would necessarily bum me out because, you know, I would be comfortable. I would be able to, like, I would always want to reach as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if I only had, like, the hardcore fans, like 10,000 that were going to buy the CD and they were going to really be into it and really love it and get it and I wouldn't have to change what I want to do, like, mm-hmm. then of course, you know, you'd definitely be happy with that. That'd be great.
Are you kind of a? I was thinking about your AP op-ed while you were just speaking that. And are you kind of a traditionalist in a way? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, are you married to the idea of a hard case CD?
I do love it. I love having the hard, you know, the copy of it. It's just, yeah. I guess I kind of am, but I mean, I do understand the benefit and what you need. You know, why you need the digital, like, you know, and how much easier it is and how much cheaper it is. And
because isn't that what Kenny did? He did primarily digital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, obviously your profit's going to be so much more and it's going to be so much easier for people to get it. You know, they don't have to come to shows or go to a store to find it or whatever. But it's like, you know, it's like distro is like, you don't need to worry about like, you know, shipping so many units or whatever. It's like, but I do love the idea of just having it just because like for me, like getting into music, it's just like, when I was like, you know, that was like such a special thing, like, you know, going to get a CD and just like the respect you have for it, you know, like the, you look at it and you're like, oh my God, like, you know, it means like you're a band, you're a, you know, you're doing something like that's, you know, and now that's sort of, I guess, fading, but you know, I guess you could say I am. I do love the, just having it.
So last question. And, being a music fan, I kind of wondered when you kind of go into different cities and if you get the time, do you kind of search out the record stores that are left at all?
Yeah, if we definitely get a if we get a chance, we have time, I definitely love to go in any little record store and just, you know, check it out and, you know, sort of see how they're doing and, you know, what's going on.
Right.
You know, it seems like actually like records are like getting big again, you know, like vinyl.
Yeah. Which got to make you happy.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great. So it's like, you know, I definitely love seeing how all that's working. You know, it's very interesting to me how it's like things are like fading out, but now people are like collecting it again, you know, and it's like, it's different. It's, you know, I definitely love going around and just checking it out, seeing how it's
all working. The question I was ultimately going to ask here is there a particular city in this country that you've traveled through that you would probably put at the top of, like, besides the one you're in now, you live in now, but is there that city that you just like the general vibe of the city, just everything about it, is like, and so maybe other bands, other musicians, as they maybe start their first tour or something like that, and they'll go, you know what, I remember Ace talking about this city, there's something about this city that's just beautiful.
Right. I mean, as a, for like, people being awesome at shows type thing, like, you know, there's always like, since the first time I was there, like Salt Lake City, like, has always been like going there has just been like, everybody's just so like supportive about their music and so supportive about the music scene is like, I mean, it's like, it's pretty impressive. Like, out of all the cities that, you know, we usually play, it's like, they're, you know, at least all the people that I run into at shows and like, you know, whatever, like, it's really, really just like supportive, really into everything, and just want to, like, if they see you once, they're going to come, they're definitely coming the next time, and they're definitely going to buy the record, and they're definitely going to tell their friends, and they're definitely going to, you know, support their like music scene. It's very strong, very good.
So Salt Lake.
I love Salt Lake. Yeah, it's great.
Would that be the one you were retiring?
Retiring?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I have to say, like, as far as music-wise or?
No, just living-wise.
Living-wise? Love the mountains. I do.
So close.
Any mountainous, like, you know, Boulder. Like, you know, love it. Love it. So, yeah, I would love to, you know, have a chill, relaxing.
Studio up in the mountains.
That would be so awesome.
I'm just giving you all these ideas.
I definitely
check in with you in 10 years.
Definitely have thought about it. I'll give you a royalty on every idea that I stole from you.
Just so you know, oral agreements are contract binding. These are legally binding here. So we're set. I know it's frustrating, but you just, as I said when I started off, you just seem happier, and people around you seem to be saying it. And I wish you completely the best of luck with this.
I really appreciate it.
I think it's just hanging on, you know. And
yeah. I'm definitely psyched about it, and you know, I'm really happy, like, with everybody. You know, just, I don't know. It's been such a sort of like rough transition at the same time, you know,
right,
as such a amazingly positive transition. So it's like, you know, it's definitely weighed out on both hands, but it's, you know, I'm definitely, my spirits are much, much higher now that I, like, you know, I feel like I'm on a mission, you know, like I'm, you know, I'm doing the right thing. I feel like, I think a big thing for me is like, I'm not, like, I know that I'm doing this and I'm in it and all my decisions are based on the right thing, you know, doing the right thing. And it's like, I feel like, you know, now I'm just like, all the decisions are like, you know, not what's going to get us here, like, you know, but you're doing the right thing, you know, you're being like, you know, what would you say, like a stand-up musician, I don't know, a stand-up
role model. It's
like just trying to do the right things and making the right decisions, you know, to you know, and then that's where I'm at, and that's very, you know, I guess making me happy, very happy. And you know, now, like, doing it like this, like starting over and having, you know, my family and like wife be such a big part of it, it's like, you know, so much easier to live, you know, without having to be away from somebody all the time.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's so much easier to live having, you know, having it right there and, you know, being, sharing everything and, you know, the support that comes from her. And it's just like, you know, it's great. That's why I'm happy. You know, I don't have to, you know, that part of my life is like amazing. So it's like all the silly bad stuff that happens in the music business, like, just, I guess that's what gives me my strength to like just be like, you know, I could live in a van, it's all right, you know. I could take another hit, it'll be all right, because that part of my life is, you know, wonderful. So it's like that combined with, you know, ultimately doing everything for the, you know, the right calls, feeling like, you know, then we're just happy, very happy.
There's nothing that says love more than not being able to take a shower for 3 days and having your loved one not be able to take one as well.
That's great. We try and shower as much as possible.
No, you're supposed to say we can't, because in that way you can get that sponsorship for Axe.
You're right.
You know, so you've got to think. It's new, different. Times change now.
Oh, God.
It's all about marketing.
It is. Jeez.
Thank you again for coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate it and had a wonderful time. And awesome. Glad to be here. Look forward to doing it again.
AP Podcasts are recorded at Lava Room Recording Studio in Cleveland, Ohio, a New York City quality studio at Cleveland prices. Check out www.lavaroomrecording.com. For more information on Alternative Press Magazine, go to www.altpress.com. The podcast engineer is John Walsh. Post-production assistance from Rob Bertenzi. I'm Mike Shea, and this is All My Fault. You can reach me directly at www.myspace.com/MikeSheaAP. That's SHEA, like the stadium, AP.